Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we continue to dedicate this day unto Thee, and we continue to bring our prayers and supplication to Thee. Lord, we need Thee, we need Thy presence, we need Thy strength, Thy wisdom, and Thy guidance, Father, in our hearts and in our lives. And we look to Thee, Father, and as we would open these pages, Lord, and read from it's the life that it brings. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we would be attentive, that we would use this time wisely, Father, and that Thy name would be glorified as we spend this hour together. And so abide Thou with us and work Thou in our hearts is our prayer, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. For this afternoon's reading, let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes and read chapter number 9. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 9.
Is that so?
Chapter number 9.
Correct.
Deveta glava iz knjiga propovednika je nađen da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću.
For all this, I considered in my heart even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event to all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know nothing, know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun. All the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city, and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength, Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. The book of Ecclesiastes is commonly reported to have been written by Solomon, and we know that he was a man that asked of God early in his kingship to grant unto him wisdom, and that God did, granted him great wisdom. And he had experienced many things in his life. There had been nothing really that was held back from him. He experienced it all, and he sought it greatly. And he owned many things. He built the temple, the house of God. He built his own home, and he built many things. And he had horticulture, husbandry, and many other things that he was very much involved in. And he had great experience throughout his life. And so as he begins this book, he writes in the first chapter. He says, "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun." He'd seen it all. He'd experienced many things, and he can make a discernment on all these things that have accumulated in his life and those things that he has experienced, and he says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And his conclusion is, "And behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." That was his conclusion that he came to after he had experienced so many things. It's vanity. It's vexation of spirit. There is little of value that as we consider the things of this life. It's soon gone. It's soon gone. Our previous generations have done things and great things in their time, but their labor is no more. And so Solomon had come to this realization. And so he's writing these words of wisdom and of things that he had experienced in his lifetime. And one thing that he had come to a conclusion was very clear to him is that God knows all, but man doesn't. Man knows so little. The more man begins to understand and know and to grow in wisdom, the more he realizes that he has less and less wisdom than he once thought he had. But God knows everything. And that's the blessing. That's a great blessing for us who believe in Him and who trust in Him and who have placed our lives into His care and into His keeping and have full faith in Him in all aspects of our lives. We find that to be a great joy to us, that God knows everything. Everything that happens to the good, to those that are good and to those that are evil. Both the good and bad that happen to the good and to the evil. God knows all these things. But we rejoice in that, knowing that he is in full control. And so he begins this chapter by saying, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare this." This was his desire, that he wanted to make this declaration. He wanted to speak and bring forth this that he had considered in his heart in the wisdom that was granted unto him. And he says that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. It's all in the hand of God. Everything that we do, everything that we grow into, it's all in the hand of God. As we give our lives over to Him and have that faith in Him, we're in His hands and He cares for us. That's, a blessed place to be, is in the hand of God. Knowing that He loves us, knowing that He is a God of mercy, He's without partiality. He loves us and He gives unto us of his great blessings, and he imparts unto us of his great wisdom as we ask it of him. But we are in the hand of God. Again, if we don't know the Lord, if we are rebelling against the Lord, if we are deliberately being disobedient to who God is and are not going to follow in his ways, the cursings are going to be great in our lives. We're going to be fighting and kicking against the pricks. It's going to be very difficult for us. But when we love the Lord and when we care that we walk in a way that would be good in His sight, that he will bless us, and he will bless us abundantly. And he came to an observation, Solomon did, that all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth the oath. One thing happens to us all, to all that are good and to those that are evil. There are similarities in our lives that we experience with the heathen of this world, with sinners. We get cancer, they get cancer. Bad things happen to us, bad things happen to them. And this is what Solomon had come to. All things come alike unto all, and including a physical death. And so he came to this realization, and he's declaring it here, that all things come alike to all. It's one event, and it comes to all of us. But again, as we lay our lives into his hands, as he cares for us, we know that when we suffer these things that come upon fallen man, that he is there with us. We feel his presence, and we know that he's real in our lives. And we rejoice in him, and we don't lose our joy in the Lord. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. They go to the dead. And in chapter 3 we read that too, that death comes. Death comes to all. Because of the sin of Adam, again, death comes to all. But that's a physical death. And we've been reminded distinctly in this day that our soul lives on and lives on for all eternity. And it is our soul that we want to care for and to watch that we walk in the wisdom of the Lord and that we place our soul into his care and into his keeping and know that that is a blessed state to be in. But there is a death that comes, a physical death to all. And that was profound to King Solomon. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything at all. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. As we live, we know that one day we will lie in that coffin. We will be there. But we live for the Lord, and we serve the Lord, and we'll read more of that here further in this chapter. But those that have passed on, there is no more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Their work is done. After we have passed on from this life, our work is done. There is nothing more that we can contribute then to the benefit of others or to the benefit of mankind. Once our lot in this life is expired, there's nothing more that we can contribute. So he says, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments always be white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and thy labor which thou takest under the sun. He's reminding us that we're here, and yet God has given unto us that we would rejoice in the labor and the fruit of the labor of our hands. That is to be given unto us. There were societies in times past where monks in the Dark Ages that they thought that the more they abused themselves and the more that they held back in life, that the more God would bless them. But Solomon hadn't come to that realization. Solomon had said that we are to eat and to drink as to the portion that would be appropriate for us, and to enjoy that which God hath given unto us. That is the gift of God. We read that in a couple places here in Ecclesiastes. That's the gift of God, that we can rejoice in the labor of our own hands. Not to abuse that, not to take that over much, but that is our portion in this life, to rejoice in what God has given unto us, and in the labor of our hands. Then he says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. This was his advice to all mankind, not only to the kingdom of Israel, as he's writing here, perhaps, but even to all mankind, that whatever we do, that we would do it with our might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. While we are here upon this earth, we are to labor, we are to serve the Lord and do what he would have us to do. There will be a time when our death comes, our physical death, and that we will no longer be able to work or to contribute anymore. Jesus Christ said that I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus Christ came to work the works of him that sent him, the works of God the Father. He came to work these works. He came to serve. He came to be a minister in serving what God would have him to serve and to do that which his Father had sent him to do. And he says, while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Our death will come, and we will no longer be able to work. And at that point, we don't want to have regret as we would look back on life that we didn't do what we thought, what we could have done and been a blessing more unto others. The Bible says that we should not be slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We should never be slothful in business, and specifically in God's business, because there is a spiritual labor and there is a carnal labor. We labor carnally for our wages that we might be able to provide that food and drink that we have need of. But to labor in the Lord, as Jesus Christ said, I must work the works of him that sent me, we become a blessing unto others. We have a desire to make someone's lot better in this life. And so he's saying, not slothful in the Lord's business. We should never be slothful in the Lord's business. Be followers of God as dear children. If we are followers of God, we are laboring in his kingdom. I don't believe that God has lazy followers. There are only those that are diligent and not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, having a desire to serve. Where can I help? What can I do? How can I make things better? That's a desire that is very clear for a child of God, one who follows God. How can I serve the Lord? We serve the Lord by serving others. And so that is a great blessing that we can have in this life, and that is wisdom. And so Solomon says, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with your might. Put forth the effort. Be diligent about it. God gave unto us his best. He gave unto us his Son, and his Son faithfully executed that which he was called upon to do. We likewise ought to be very fervent in business, fervent in spirit, that we would do the best what God would have us to do. Whatever we are called to do, that we would do it to the best of our ability that God has given unto us, to his honor and to his glory, because he gave unto us his best. The Apostle Paul wrote, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Again, working, serving others, doing that which is good, being fervent in spirit. Why? Why? Here's what the rest of that verse says. That he may have to give to him that needeth. We labor, and we labor carnally for our earthly necessities, but we labor in the Lord, and we serve others. And the purpose of that is to give to others, to make others' life a blessing. I can't remember the wording exactly, but this morning it was said that those that are happiest are those that serve the Lord. We are happiest when we serve. We are happiest when we give. We are happiest when we are laboring and for a cause that is greater than that of ourselves. That is when we rejoice. And then a familiar voice in Colossians chapter 3 says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance. The Lord will bless us far greater than that which we deserve. The Lord will give unto us far greater riches and peace and joy and love in our hearts than our simple service to Him as a reward for our service. And so he says, whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's who we serve. When we serve one another, when we give of our time, of our resources, of our talents, and when we have compassion and mercy and want to help one another, we're serving the Lord who gave us so much, who forgave us so much, who shows unto us mercy day by day. Every day his mercies are new. This is who we serve. This is the God we serve. And so Solomon says, whatsoever thou doest, whatsoever you put your hand to do, do it with thy might. And I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. We are in the hand of God. We are in the hand of God. He determines the results of things. We give of ourselves, we serve, and we apply ourselves to the best of our ability for the benefit of others, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Not everything that we engage in is going to flourish. It says here that the race is not to the swift. Not everybody who is a good runner will win every race. Not everyone who is strong will win every battle. Not everyone who is wise will have an abundance of bread. Not everyone who has understanding will have riches. It says, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Ours is to put ourselves in the position where God can bless us, and that is when we apply our hearts to wisdom and when we labor in His vineyard and glorify Him in all things. And then he says that this wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great to me. Again, this is a beautiful thing that Solomon, who was blessed with much wisdom, he's willing to impart this wisdom that he has received with all. And we are recipients of that this afternoon. And so he's seen something, and it was great to him, and he grew in wisdom in this, that there was a little city and few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. And it's so often the case, just as we read there in verse number 11, that it's not always the wise that are heard. It's not always those that should be heard are heard. We see in the news and in other places that those who are not qualified are setting the agenda and proclaiming how things are. Well, that's not really true in many cases. It's the Word of God that's true. It's the Word of God from whence we have wisdom. And often, those that are very, very wise and understanding in a matter, they are not heard. Just as it was that, as in this situation where Solomon realized that there was a great, great army against this little city that just had a few men in it. There was no way that this little city with just a few men in it were going to be able to win a battle against this great king with his bulwarks and his surrounding of the city. But yet this poor wise man was able to deliver this city. That's what wisdom does. He was wise, but because he was poor, he was despised. And no one even remembered this same poor man that delivered the city. And then he says, wisdom is better than strength. And so he's coming back to this. He's experienced so many things in his life, and he's understanding that all is vexation and vanity of spirit. And he's coming to this realization, and he's sharing it with us, and that he's saying, A man that is strong, if he's not wise, that strength isn't channeled properly. It's not going to do its intended use for that strength. That strength could be very great, but if that strength isn't channeled through wisdom, it's of little value. And he says also of riches. Though someone may have great riches, wisdom is far better. Wisdom, without wisdom, how do you manage a great amount of wealth of gold and silver? Wisdom is greater. And so he came to this realization and he's sharing it with us that wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. And this is a truth I believe that we've all come to realize too, that typically it's he who is more reserved, more quiet, and yet has experienced many things, that he has a lot to share, or she, and has great wisdom. And when a message or a truth comes out from such an individual, we know it to be profound. I'm sure all of us have experienced that in our lives. And so he also says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Wisdom, in Proverbs it says, is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And then with all thy getting, get understanding as well. Wisdom is the principal thing. We receive that from the Lord. In James we read that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord who gives to all men liberally. Meaning God gives it to us abundantly. There's no measure. He just keeps giving unto us wisdom. If we ask it of the Lord. And he will bless us with that wisdom abundantly. That's a promise that we have in his word. We get this wisdom from God. Not from the universities, the Ivy League universities, or anywhere else. But we get it from God. The wisdom that comes from above. So we ask it of God, and then he gives it to us liberally, in a great measure. Then he defines wisdom, James, in his epistle, by saying, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. This is the wisdom of God. It would never come across harsh or bitter. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. The wisdom of God, the wisdom that God gave to Solomon, it's easy to be entreated. It's easily to be accepted into our hearts and into our lives, into our minds, that as we would consider this wisdom that comes from above, it's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits. This is the wisdom that comes from above. And God gives it to us. And therefore, he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. It's full of mercy. It's full of good fruits. Solomon writes here in chapter 2. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. Again, here's a conclusion that he comes to. And it's beautiful that how he just writes this. This a simple truth that as great as light is above darkness, so great is wisdom above folly. Then in chapter 7, the verse is not coming to me, but it speaks of how great wisdom is and how it is to be desired. This verse number 12, it says, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. A beautiful expression. We have life if we have wisdom. We have understanding. We have grace. We have that mercy. We have that good fruits. This is the excellency of knowledge, that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. And so, I'd like to conclude with how Solomon concludes this book as well. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." This is the summation. This is the summation. Fear God and keep his commandments. Have a healthy regard and reverence for who our Lord and Savior and our Father and our God is. Have a healthy, very healthy regard and reverence toward him. That it would be no folly, no silliness, no goofiness about anything when it comes to God. That is nothing how we should have a regard toward our God. We have to fear him and have a healthy reverence for him and stand in awe before him. That's what it means to fear God. And then to keep his commandments. Again, we heard his commandments aren't grievous. They're not a burden. They're not so difficult. But they're a joy. They're a joy to keep, knowing that we have life through that. When we keep his commandments. And this is the whole duty of man. This is the summation of it all. And this is the wisdom that he is calling us to. Job recognized that wisdom. And he said, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." May God bless his word upon our hearts.
Darren, we're just saying that wisdom's highest treasure, most noble treasure of wisdom is in Jesus. He is wisdom. The brother read that wisdom gives life. Proverbs describes wisdom as a tree of life. It's Jesus himself. And this chapter closes telling us that wisdom is better than the weapons of war. Christ is better than any power or might or any atomic energy, even anything. It's Christ. And then he says, "But one sinner destroyeth much good." Brothers, sisters, all of us together, let's think about this one closing verse. One sinner destroys much good. We can just look at the Adam and what his one sin did. But this, the Pew Bible actually references to 2 Kings, where it talks about Manasseh, a king who had followed after the ways of the heathens, and it says that that God actually was going to punish that entire nation of Israel because what they had done through this one man and his sin. He led the entire nation away from God. We can look at Achan and see what he did. The nation of Israel had no victories until his sin was dealt with. One man, one sin. It says one sinner destroys much good. We can look at Ananias and Sapphira. What they did, the church was never the same again afterwards. You want to sin? You don't care about sin. You don't care about heaven. You don't care about hell. You don't care if you go to hell. You want to give in to your own passions and lusts and desires. You don't care. But someone is watching you. Your children are watching you. Our children are watching you. Someone is watching. And your influence, the amount of influence that one sin exerts is unbelievable. And it destroys lives and damages. The way we come to church, how we act, how we dress, how the things that we spend our money on. Those are all influences to the generations behind us and all who are around us. We are influencing. If it is sin, we will give an account not only for our sin, but the sin of those who follow us because Jesus says that if we cause one of these little ones to stumble, it's better that a millstone is hung around our neck and thrown into the sea. One sinner destroys much good. Let's think a little and not be so careless with our lives, because at home, brothers, sisters, we want to reach for the bottle. Our children will reach for that same bottle. You want to watch shows that are filthy? Your children will do the same thing. Sin destroys good. And Solomon spent his life in sin, looking to be happy. And it's over. Solomon's history is done. It's written about. It's here. We read about it now. The sin of Achan, he's gone. Manasseh, it says that he slept with his father. He's done. He died. He's gone. It's a history that we see, but it's not over for him. He will stand before Jesus Christ one day to give an answer for his sin and the sin of the nation that followed him also, as we also will one day. So let us take heed. Today we hear. Today we heard. And it's really going to be choices that we make that will lead us and those around us. So may God bless his word upon our hearts and be with us as we make those decisions and choices every day. Amen.